Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, John 3:16. Those are our call letters. We're not 1 Adam 12 or J316. We're a two-man car. I believe my partner Eddie's going to be calling in. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm here in Kansas right now. I am going to be attending my youngest son's wedding tomorrow. And so I'm over here for a few days celebrating the sacrament of matrimony tomorrow with my son and my new daughter-in-law. But today we want to talk about artificial intelligence. Let me give you a definition, then we'll talk about the misuse, how it could be potentially misused by Satanists or Luciferians. So what is artificial intelligence? I'm looking at a definition here on the web. It says, artificial intelligence is a branch of computer science that aims to create intelligent machines. Nothing wrong with that. It says, if research associated with artificial intelligence is highly technical and specialized, the core problems of artificial intelligence include programming computers for certain traits such as knowledge, reasoning, problem solving, perception, learning, planning, ability to manipulate and move objects. And here's the kicker. Knowledge engineering is a core part of artificial intelligence research. Machines can often act and react like humans only if they have abundant information relating to the world. So here's the problem, okay? Machines can often act and react like humans only if they have abundant information. It reminds me of those Terminator movies and some of the other movies that we've seen where these machines become so intelligent that they start turning on the human beings. Hey, Eddie, are you there? Just want to make sure I'm a one-man car or a two-man car. Eddie, are you there? Sounds good. Okay, so the reason why artificial intelligence is dangerous, there's an article I have here that says, globalists are obsessed with artificial intelligence. Okay? It is nearly impossible to traverse web news or popular media today without being assaulted by vast amounts of propaganda on artificial intelligence. AI can do almost everything and do it better than any human being, so says the article. And the things that AI can't do, it will be able to do eventually. Whenever the establishment attempts to saturate the media with a particular narrative, it is usually with the intent to manipulate public perception in a way that produces self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, they hope to shape reality by telling a particular lie so often it becomes accepted by the masses over time as fact. And they've done this, by the way, with globalism, with the idea of globalism. They've done this with the junk science of climate change, which they call undeniable. And they want to do the same thing with artificial intelligence, the secular humanists. The globalists have long held artificial intelligence as a kind of holy grail in centralization technology. In fact, the United Nations has adopted numerous positions and summits on this issue. You also have, obviously, the military also has its use for artificial intelligence. But the article says that the globalists, the secular humanists, they have strategic reasons, but also religious reasons for placing artificial intelligence on this ideological pedestal. So here's a few things that the article mentions. The elites are always careful to assert that their interests focus on the public good. That's why the UN and other agencies argue that they should be the leaders in the oversight of mass data collection. That is to say, they want us to believe that they're objective and trustworthy enough to manage rules for data surveillance or to manage the data itself. Here's another thing that article says. For the safety of the public, the globalists want centralized management of all data collection, ostensibly to save us from those evil corporations and their invasion of data privacy. That sounds like communism to me, okay? Centralized management of all data collection. The public, with its innate distrust of corporate moral compass, or lack thereof, is supposed to be convinced to support UN regulatory reforms as a counterbalance? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. So what's the goal of these artificial intelligence? The actual effectiveness of AI as a means to help humanity is questionable. AI is primarily about learning algorithms or machines that are programmed to learn from experience. And the problem is that the algorithm is that program it in the first place. See, that's why you find a lot of problems on social media. That's very conservative voices on social media. They put in certain words in right wing, and these words will be inserted, and so these social media outlets will catch it and they'll censor it, and this is how liberals want to use artificial intelligence. Number one, to collect all the data that they can possibly collect on everybody, and then control the conversation. Hey, I just want to make sure, is Eddie there? My partner, Eddie? Eddie's not there yet. Okay, so here's the problem with artificial intelligence. This pits a machine against a human being, okay? And when a machine is pitted against a human in a system built on very simple and concrete rules, machines tend to win. Machines tend to prevail. And also, artificial intelligence is only as effective as the person that's putting in the information or the program into the machine. If you have an evil, atheist, anti-God, secular humanist writing the algorithm and putting this program into this artificial intelligence, he could do this to wreak havoc upon society, especially upon the church, or upon his political opponents. Now, if you had, canonized saints writing algorithms to insert these programs into computers, into artificial intelligence, well, I would have no problem with that. The problem here is who's writing the algorithms. And we know that, again, the fact of the matter is, most of the country, they're nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And so we have a lot of these young, educated nuns writing these algorithms, and they're inserting them into this artificial intelligence. That's dangerous. Because these nuns, N-O-N-E-S, writing these algorithms are people that do not have a properly formed moral conscience. In fact, they have a deformed or malformed moral conscience. We continue. Okay? The article says, this is where we get the crux of how the image of artificial intelligence is being inflated into a kind of half-baked electronic god, a false prophet. Artificial intelligence is being inserted not only into chess, but into everything. Mass surveillance is impossible to manage alone, and the amount of data is overwhelming. So what is the purpose of artificial intelligence for the globalists we know here? Artificial intelligence is meant to scour social media. Okay. Here's the kicker. Artificial intelligence is meant to scour social media or electronic mail for keywords to identify potential miscreants. That's conservatives, or there's our Christians, Catholics or Protestants. To identify potential miscreants and opposition. Artificial intelligence is also meant to monitor public sentiment towards specific issues of governments, like abortion or homosexual marriage, and the goal is to gauge and eventually predict public behavior. So number one, artificial intelligence, if it's used by the wrong people, and most of the people using social media are secular humanists, moral relativists, that are nuns, that are N-O-N-E-S, that don't have a properly formed moral conscience. And so they're trying to get information for their enemies. Hey, I think I was a one-man car. I think I'm a two-man car. Eddie, are you reporting for duty?
I am reporting for duty, sir. I had a little mix-up at the beginning there, Jess, but I'm here. What's going on?
I got it. We're talking to Eddie. We're talking about the potential danger of artificial intelligence. Again, using machines, programming the machines to such a point that they can act and react like humans if they have the proper information or the proper algorithm. My problem with this, Eddie, is I look at the movie Terminator and other movies, another one made by Will Smith on the way machines turn on human beings. The problem with trying to make these machines human is these machines, they don't have a soul, number one. And number two, these machines are only going to act according to the algorithm or the program inserted by the human being that inserts the program. And I just don't trust the average human being, Eddie, right now in our country. They're either secular humanist, moral relativist, have a poorly formed moral conscience, and I don't want any of these secular humanists trying to turn machines into humans. What about you?
Jess, I even go back further than that. There was a movie long time ago called War Games, and we had an example during that movie that showed the artificial intelligence when the machine began to try to do first strike strategies, country against country. So you're right, Jess. You know, the country has progressed, and we have people that are less informed about Catholic things, about Christian things, and we're going to have a bunch of millennials running this program or programming it, and that's an issue.
Right. Yep. You're listening to Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. Two-man car. It was a one-man car. He just jumped in the hoop. We'll be right back talking about artificial intelligence, the way this can be diabolical. Yes.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, John 3:16. We are your watch commanders. We're giving you guys some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefings, so that you can put all this information into your war bag. You can go out there and evangelize, hit the streets and evangelize, and save souls one at a time. Starting with your family, starting with your friends. We're talking about artificial intelligence. I don't trust, Eddie, I don't trust the people right now in our country, the vast majority of people coming out of colleges and universities and corporate America. I don't trust them to amass all the information that they want about everybody through artificial intelligence. And I don't trust them to control these computers, to try to make them human-like, give them human-like qualities, and write these programs to determine. In fact, here's this one part of the article. I want your comment, Eddie. It says this. Artificial intelligence is meant to scour social media or electronic mail for keywords to identify potential miscreants in opposition. Boy, if they scour my emails, they're going to say, this guy's a Catholic nut right-winger. The article says, it is also meant to monitor public sentiment towards specific issues or governments. The goal is to gauge and eventually predict public behavior. Here's another sentence. Governments are also highly interested in tracking individual habits to the point of creating psychological profiles for every person on the planet if possible. So Eddie, you and me would definitely be on this one corner of a psychological profile, Catholic nuts. And then it says here,
yeah.
Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was just going to say, Jess, you know, the people that are programming this have biases. These biases are programmed into this software. So my question is, you know, who's going to program it on how to react or what the proper reaction from the computer is? So my thing is, what if you have a conservative running in an election? And they can monitor that. They can somehow control it by what they're doing. This is problematic, just because we know the majority of society right now is very liberal, and that creates a problem when you talk about this kind of a gathering of information.
Eddie, and here's another thing that the article just backs up what you just said. It says this. This all boils down to the idea that artificial intelligence will one day be able to identify criminals before they ever commit an actual crime. In other words, AI is meant to become an all-seeing eye that not only monitors our behavior, but also reads our minds as a force for a pre-crime identification. So Eddie, if your emails and my emails and social media, they'd be saying, oh, these guys use the word all the time, orthodox, conservative, pro-life, you know, traditional family values. These guys are about to commit a crime. These guys are right-wing terrorists and stuff, and we're going to identify these guys as potential criminals. That's exactly what they're going to be doing. They're going to be trying to smear their enemies.
Just that brings something to mind here. So when you identify somebody as being a potential criminal, what do you do with that? Do you arrest them? I mean, what's the reaction? In other words, you know, potentially there's going to be some victims. Do you save them? Do you try to protect them? So this brings some really uncharted territory to what the country is going to be doing with things. And of course, this is more than just the United States. So what things are in that computer that's going to control what the reaction is in different parts of the world? It's just kind of a crazy thing.
Absolutely. And the article says that the globalist obsession, and by the way, globalists are secular humanists. They're these one world government, open borders, socialism, you know, New World Deal. These are the globalists, okay? And by the way, globalism sets us up for the Antichrist. That's another topic, because the Antichrist will come and set up a one world government. And that's exactly, globalism plays right into that. But the article says that the globalist obsession with AI, that there's a religious factor, Eddie, and they're talking about there's a Luciferian factor. There's a Luciferian delusion with this whole AI push. The first one is this. Remember, it says, in order to become a god, one would have to have total observational power, meaning you'd have to be able to see all and know all. And such a goal is foolish, because observing everything does not necessarily mean a person knows everything. Total observation would be required total objectivity. Bias, like you just said, blinds people to the truth right in front of their faces all the time. And globalists are some of the most biased and elitist people on the planet. Eddie, so they do have this godlike, desire. Yeah. Because they... God knows everything, and these globalists want to know everything also. So there's this godlike, this envy of God, like Lucifer, Wisdom 2:24. Lucifer envied God. These globalists, they want to have godlike powers. We want to know everything. Let's collect all the data. Let's set up all the programs to know everything about everybody. So we're able to control everybody because we know everything about everybody. That's like quality, like Lucifer.
Yeah, Jess, I think that this is problematic from the get-go. So you have an organization that's trying to determine or trying to gather all the information. Then what exactly are they going to do with it? So do they have the ability to create some unseen force or some individual that they can create that has the knowledge that they've amassed, and that person will, I mean, when you look at it, Jess, you know, we can't even imagine what the future holds, but what I'm thinking is, will this person or individual that they set up will usher in the time of the Antichrist? This is what that's what the Luciferianism is all about, and I think it's very problematic for that to happen. So I don't know if they've worked out all the kinks or they even desire to, but there are some problems with the system, absolutely.
Here's the second reason why this whole artificial intelligence thrust, here's the diabolical component to it. Here's the second diabolical component. We remember that the devil wanted to be like God. And again, these the AI people, they want to have total observational power. But the second thing that you can see where they want to have these godlike powers is, second, the article says, to become a god in a mythological or biblical sense, one would be required to create intelligent life from nothing. After all, that's what God did. And I believe that in the minds of the Luciferians, the creation of AI is the creation of an intelligent life form from software. Of course, Luciferians have a disturbed notion of what constitutes intelligent life. So Eddie, the people that are behind this push, once again, there's this, just like the devil, Lucifer, this good angel who became a fallen angel, and there's two things that Lucifer wanted. A, he wanted to be like God, which means he wanted to have knowledge of everything. And the second thing that he wanted, since Lucifer wanted to be like God, that means he also wanted the power to create, because only God has the power to create. Angels and demons can't create. They can only change pre-existent matter. And so here we have the artificial intelligence people in 2019. They have the same desire that Lucifer does, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, Jess, that's what's so concerning about this, is that you have millennials and beyond millennials, because this is going to be here for some time, we have them deciding, first of all, what's intelligible life. We have, you know, we have to give up a little bit there. We have to give up a little bit of morality, because obviously they have none. So my question is, you know, where does it go from here? What have we not imagined yet, Jess, that these people can do with the information that they're collecting? And who's going to set up the categories? Like you said, Jess, I mean, am I going to be a conservative Catholic category? And if is that right to do? You know, that we have to think beyond the scale here. This is problematic.
Once again, this sets up the whole precursor for the Antichrist, the one world government, open borders, you know, one bank. You just have one CEO running planet Earth, and this whole artificial intelligence, I think it plays right into that. Here's another thing that the article says. It says, to understand this ideology or cult, the cult of artificial intelligence, we must consider the fact that globalists often exhibit, globalists like George Soros, if you want to see a classic example of a globalist, they often exhibit the traits of narcissistic sociopaths. Full-blown narcissistic sociopaths make up less than 1% of the total human population. They are people who actually lack any inherent empathy or the normal personality tools that we would associate with humanity. It would not be an exaggeration to say that such people are like robots rather than people. And to summarize, he says, Luciferianism is the perfect belief system for these narcissistic sociopaths. they are in a way human, but they are blank slates devoid of humanity, and so they adopt the religion which treats this notion as normal. Eddie, in other words, these people, these earth movers that I call them, these movers and shakers, the problem is they don't have a Christian worldview. They don't believe that we are made to know, love, and serve God in this life and to spend all eternity with Him in the next. They have a secular humanist worldview that human beings, you know, we don't have a soul when we die. They just, you know, chop up the body and make them compost and throw them, you know, to fertilize a tree. We got sick people that are trying to push this high technology.
Yeah, just, you know, for me, it just ushers in the thought, by what rules are they going to play this game? Are there any limits to this massive gathering of information? And you know, like I said, what's limits? So are they going to, you know, we know right now that there are some anomalies that occur with current technology about turning on PC cameras, about, you know, monitoring Alexas or spouting out religious answers to questions that were never asked. You know, we have a spontaneous smartphone eavesdropping, but we're dealing with people like you just described, Jess. And what's the limit going to be? What are they going to? How are they going to categorize these things? And how are they going to react from people who fit into categories that are not of their liking? This is a situation that I see coming, and that's going to be very hard to control because not everybody's going to have they're not going to have access to this software.
That's right. And the Luciferian definition, if you want to know what that means, Luciferianism is a religion designed by narcissistic sociopaths for narcissistic sociopaths. It's a kind of binding or organizing tool to gather sociopaths into an effective group for mutual benefit. And these Luciferians, they're basically a club of parasites. And they represent people, I'm glad, very, very small percentage of our society. I think I would consider these narcissistic sociopaths. George Soros, without a doubt, is one of them. The article says this: if this theory is true about the Luciferians, it says the existence of a cabal of narcissistic sociopaths conspiring together to hide their identities and become more successful predators through artificial intelligence. Hey, you're listening to Jesus 911. Up next, we're going to talk about a Catholic priest who was installed as an exorcist, and the devil went after him, and how he was able to overcome that.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show. and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. We're 10-8. That means we're on duty. We're giving you some Catholic briefing and intel so you can put all this info into your war bag. You can hit the streets. You can go out there and evangelize and save souls. Because that's exactly what every single Catholic is called to do, save souls. Eddie, let me just introduce this article. I want to get your comments. There's a priest by the name of Father Leonid. He's a Redemptorist priest. He gave a testimony that he was assigned as the diocesan exorcist back in 2005. And he admits that it was a huge responsibility, kind of a burden, in fact. But he says the first couple of months of his ministry as an exorcist, he loved it. He absolutely loved it. But then he said he encountered in this one exorcism where the devil himself threatened him to destroy him. And it seems as if after that moment, Father, for a time, he began being attacked by the devil, what we would call demonic obsession, mental attacks. He says he went through some terrible depression, mental pain. So he felt this diabolical obsession when the devil threatened him in this one particular exorcism that he did. And the devil continued to threaten him several other times. He says he went to, now here's this, he says he went to Medjugorje, and we know that it's still not an approved apparition. However, we do know that there's a lot of, and I'll tell you why I believe a lot of good things are happening in Medjugorje. It's just not per se because of what may or may not have happened there. I just believe because there's so many people of faith that go there and pray. And wherever you have thousands and thousands of people, they're praying the rosary and praying to Our Lady and going to Mass and the sacraments, things are going to happen. So the priest says he went to Medjugorje. Jeff, kind of at that, yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
You want to add something? Real quick, just, yeah, I just want to add something to that because I want to make sure we explain it properly because yesterday at the St. Michael's Prayer Shield Bible study that I conducted last night, we had this very same topic. And one of the things one of the things I wanted to mention was whenever there's an apparition being investigated by the church, we have to understand that the devil's not going to stand by and allow the Virgin Mary to appear without interfering. So to the degree that the church can discern how much of it is true demonic influence and how authentic the Blessed Virgin Mary's apparitions are, depends on the amount of issues that come up, the amount of evil. So I believe, Jess, and I think you would agree with me, that Medjugorje is one of those places that may never be authenticated by the church, but certainly there's good things because we know of vocations that's come out of there for consecrated life, for the priesthood. We know the goodness that's come out of Medjugorje, but it's just one of those things where the church, in its current condition, may not be able to discern how much interference the evil one has conducted there.
Yeah, that's a great analysis, Eddie. And I'll tell you why it's going to be in suspension. It's going to be held in abeyance forever, I think, in our lifetime, because you got a few visionaries that are still saying that Our Lady appears to them once a month. And so as long as that continues, and it's been going on since 1983, allegedly, it's never going to get, and nothing's going to ever happen one way or another. But Eddie, going back to this article, this priest says that he rediscovered, he kind of rebooted His priestly ministry at Medjugorje, obviously, so because of just a storehouse or just a citadel of prayer out there. And then he said he came back and he started doing exorcisms, and he says he added the whole Marian component to his ministry, and he's back on track. And he says he actually heard Our Lady, speak to him, you know, whether it was audibly or inaudibly, we don't know. And Our Lady spoke to his heart and told him, "Don't be afraid, I'm your mother. I am your guarantee that you will not be destroyed, that you will not fail me. So it's a good story the way the priest says he's come back to his ministry as an exorcist with newfound zeal because the Blessed Virgin Mary promised him as a priest, don't worry about that guy, I'm going to protect you.
Right, Eddie? Yes. And you know, we have to consider that the priest was tempted to a very high degree. It wasn't something that was just passing. I mean, he went to Medjugorje and he found a renewed faith, you could say, especially with the Virgin Mary. And so, yeah, we respect that. We understand what happens in daily life, and he reacted properly with it.
Yep. Here's some of the things he said, taking his own words. He said, this is Father Leonid, a Redemptorist priest from Ukraine. He said, when he went to Medjugorje, he gave this testimony over there back in 2000. He says, in 2005, my local church, you know, made me the exorcist. That carries a huge responsibility. He says, the first months and the very first year were filled with God's love and grace, but also with great difficulties and temptations. He says, one of the major difficulties took place during one session of exorcism over a seriously possessed person. He says, the demon spoke to me through the possessed person in a very scary voice. The demon's words were full of horror and death. The demon said, quote, I am horrible, I am powerful, and I will destroy you. I will destroy your priesthood and burn your life to ashes. I will make you suffer for the rest of your life, close quote. He said that the threat was quite bad. He said he didn't take it serious at all, but he says, he goes, you know, I believe in God completely and I don't have any reason to doubt in God's protection. He says, I also knew that if I had fear in front of Satan, that would be like if I already lost something. But God allowed the situation to take place. And he goes, and this is how mighty and great Mary is. And this is, he says, he went to Medjugorje. He calls it holy and sacred ground. And he says, suddenly inexplicable, I was seized with terrible depression and mental pain. I suffered, and when I was tempted daily, I was not able to pray at all. I would go to confession every single day, but the Satan tormented me every minute of the day without rest. The temptations were so strong that I lost my peace in my soul completely. Not only that, I also felt that I lost my priesthood and my vocation. I felt that something had totally destroyed my life. Eddie, we would call this demonic obsession, and we see that a demon could even attack a Catholic priest at a high level. I mean, this is an exorcist. This is a guy that's delegated by the bishop to do battle against Satan. And this is one of our Spartans in the church that was attacked, acutely by the devil.
Yeah, Jess, this is something that we have to understand occurs. A lot of times people encounter a priest, in this area of healing, deliverance and healing. And we hear stories about, well, he didn't react properly or this, but you know, these things happen to priests as well. We have to understand that, and we have to understand how powerful the demons are without the help of the Virgin Mary and without. So, and we don't know what this priest's condition was. I mean, he may have some doubts or something beforehand, although it doesn't seem that way. He may have had some inner thoughts, but we know that he ascertained the help that he needed to get through this, and that God allowed it to happen. And I'm thinking forward here, that it was meant to strengthen his ministry as an exorcist. But keep going. That's good.
Yeah, without a doubt. So Father is from Ukraine. So now he goes over to with a group of other Catholic priests. They go over to Medjugorje. And he says he traveled despite the fact that he had a heart attack. He was also suffering from diabetes. And he said in Medjugorje, he met a holy Franciscan priest. And he was absolutely thrilled with this priest's holiness and humbleness. He says that this Franciscan priest became my friend. I would help him around, take him by the hand as he was an older man. But it appeared like I was helping him, but the truth was that it was the other way around. He was helping me. He says, we climbed the hill of apparitions, and it was to be the apparition time of one of the visionaries. Everywhere it was packed with people, priests, nuns, and lay people. He goes, I sat next to Father Ambrosius, and I turned my back to the apparition site. In my heart, Father Leonel says, I felt unworthy of being there at all. Yet as the rosary began, I felt desire to look towards the direction of the apparition, or I would say the purported apparition, to see what was happening there. At the same time, I felt the desire to look the dark, sinister voice commanded me not to look there. The hate-filled inner voice accused me, saying, "You are a failure, and you will end up in hell. I will drag you there myself." Father said, my mind was in turmoil. I felt worthless and horrible. Then from nowhere, positive feelings directed my eyes towards the apparition site. As I looked, I begged for a sign. A pinprick of light broke through the darkness. Something, someone gave me the courage, and suddenly that freedom was possible. In that very moment, as the answer to all the questions arose, I was able to see how Our Lady was coming down from heaven to this world. I knew this because of a certain gentleness, a feather-light touch, a gentle, cool breeze of Our Lady's presence. She was coming closer to me, to everyone present on that hill. As she drew closer to me, the power of evil was disappearing. In my heart, I experienced new revelation. I was able to experience how powerful her presence is and how humble she was. It was then, in that moment, that I realized that she does not cast away evil spirits, but that they flee from her. They're not able to bear her purity and beauty of her presence. She does not humiliate them, nor does she send them away. The divine love given to her by her son, Jesus Christ, causes them to flee because they cannot stand that. Eddie, it's very interesting what this priest just said right here about when Mary came. She didn't even drive the demons out. They just left her presence. This Father Leonid, what he said here is exactly what Father Ripperger teaches. He says that Mary, she doesn't have to come and yell and like grab a sword and fight with. He goes, Mary shows up in an exorcism and they just leave because of her holiness. They can't be in the presence of her holiness. So Father Ripperger says exactly what this priest says. When Mary's invoked in a deliverance or an exorcism and she shows up, she appears, demons, she's not fighting with them like with a sword or something metaphorically.
Right.
They just leave because of her holiness. I find that amazing.
Jess, you know, this is this beautiful woman who appears is just the vision of grace and purity and humbleness. This is what drives the demons from her, and we have to realize that can act in our own life too. If we are as humble Amen. As possible, that's what happens.
We will continue with this story.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. My name is Jesse Romero. That's exactly a verse for all first responders. Because that's what all first responders... Yeah. Right, Eddie? That's exactly what we're trying to do.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Eddie, we're talking about a Father Leonid. He's a Redemptorist priest. He was made an exorcist of his diocese over in the Ukraine. During one of the exorcisms, he was basically threatened by the devil, by a demon. Shortly thereafter, he says he wasn't afraid. I believe him. He says that he started becoming mentally ill, psychologically. We call that demonic obsession.
Right.
Went to Medjugorje. Looks like he rebooted his faith. And he says he felt Our Lady's presence, literally felt her presence over there. Here's what he said, that when he was in Medjugorje, on Apparition Hill, this is his testimony, he says, "In my heart, I heard the voice of Mary." She says, "Do not be afraid. I am your mother. I am your guarantee that you will not be destroyed, that you will not fail." Close quote. And so,
beautiful.
Yeah, so all the evil obsession, this demonic obsession that he was feeling, it was replaced instantly by Mary's protection and Mary's love. Eddie?
Yeah, Jess, you know, and we should say that you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary obtains the grace that priest needed from her son. And this is this is her job as a mother, to obtain the grace that you and I and everybody needs to get through this difficult life, especially at this time in history. Because, Jess, the reality is we all need God's grace during this time, because the attack against the family, the attack against holy and sacred things is so powerful right now that without her obtaining that grace, it'd be hard to come by. So we have to look at the beauty of it. We have to look at the reality of it, and the power of it, because this is what makes the difference in most of our lives.
That's right, Eddie. And Father says, he says this: everything changed in that instant. In other words, when Mary, when she spoke to his heart, she says that experience of the presence and love of our Blessed Mother became a miracle of love that saved me. He goes, a priest slowly dying, yet now my vocation and my life had been restored to me. So he admits that the devil was crushing his priesthood, he says. He goes, after I went home, I started to feel Our Lady's presence in every exorcism I performed. Praise God, hallelujah. He says, I'll give you just one example. He goes, there's many like this. Our priests were dealing with one possessed girl who came to confess in front of one of the young priests who just returned after his studies in Rome. And as he was saying the absolution words, the evil spirit, Satan possessing the person, hit that priest so hard that he was knocked across the room. Then the same evil spirit started mocking the other priest, daring them to remove the evil spirit from the little girl. The priests were afraid and scared, so they called me, the diocesan exorcist, and he goes, in short, I stood before the possessed little girl and I started to pray over her. As I began exorcism, I knew instantly the spiritual diagnosis. Straight away, I knew that the girl was severely possessed. I invited five devoted faithful to pray in support of me as I began to exorcise the little girl. I recited traditional prayers of exorcism. The evil spirit just laughed. It spoke to me in English language, humiliated me, and constantly mocked me, saying that I had no power over it. Then I began to pray to Our Lady for help. I was totally exhausted. I began to be nervous as well. I felt that I need to finish my prayer, but the evil spirit was not going away. It was one spirit of many. The spirit of suicide began to torment me, saying that it would make the little girl kill herself. Exhausted, I began to call Our Lady with all my heart, in the same way as a child calls his mother when he's afraid. Then the real screaming, as the evil spirit shouted, quote, "It burns, it burns. The light is too bright here now. There's no more darkness in her. I cannot stay here any longer. The lady is here. I must go away, must go away," close quote. With that feeble cry, the evil spirit fled and was gone. This was just one situation, and there are so many other ones, he says, during these 5 years that I've been entrusted with the services of exorcism. I experienced many temptations and trials. I had those before. I know I will have those in the future as well. But as Our Lady, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, keeps me in her heart and assists me in my duties as a diocesan exorcist. Powerful story, Eddie.
That's beautiful. Just a couple of things I want to mention here. The yeah. people that he got to pray for himself for during that exorcism that he's talking about here were not the priests, because he knew they were defeated already. There's no reason to get somebody that's losing the battle to help you. So he gets five lay people to help him pray. That was one of the things. The second thing is, you know what? My wife did the same thing with a priest that you know of, who got beat up in the confessional. We have to remember that these priests get attacked when they're going to give absolution to the people and forgive them their sins. This is very important, and you and I just both remember, if you recall, we interviewed a girl who at one point was going to be absolved from her sins, and at the moment that was going to occur, her head spun around in the confessional. And this is what one of the priests told us, but he went ahead and gave her absolution, and it was very, very interesting that you know that what can happen in there when you're about to receive the forgiveness of God. It's beautiful.
Yeah, because confession is, as Monsignor Joseph Essef, the exorcist from Scranton, Pennsylvania, as he says, it's 100 more times powerful than an exorcism. So you're right, Eddie. I can imagine what a lot of priests have seen in confessionals when they're about to give the absolution, because as Fulton Sheen says, when they're about to give the absolution, he says this: when a priest raises his hand up in the air and he's about to give the words of absolution, he said, the priest's hands is dripping with the blood of Jesus from his hands all the way down to his
foot. Wow.
It's the blood of Jesus just running. And that's the blood that he's about to impart in your soul. So can you imagine, Eddie, a demon, even a demon attached inside of a person's body, seeing the hand of Jesus full of blood coming over the penitent who has true contrition? Can you imagine that moment of contact, how horrible it is for the diabolical?
That's amazing, Jess. And, you know, we have to bring Mama Mary into this, the one who wears combat boots, the one who is a 12-star general in the war
general.
We have
yep.
currently fighting, that she was present there. She saw the blood coming from the cross. So she's got that understanding of what the blood of Christ does. And it's beautiful, Jess. These priests are fighting the fight, and we have to continue to pray for them so they can have the stamina to keep going. It was when this priest became fatigued that he started to recall some of the temptations that had been present in his life.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, they fatigue, spiritual fatigue. And a lot of us, you know, everybody can go through that. That's why you have to find time to do a decompress, go out there, work out, do some other things, you know, walk away from the computer. There's, you know, fatigue is something that the devil can do to get a good night's sleep. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here.
Exactly.
You know, drink water and stuff, and, you know, hydrate yourself, because those of us that are committed to this battle, to defending Holy Mother Church and fighting the good fight, we have to make sure that we're battle ready. And that's we got to take care of our bodies to the best of our ability. Yep. But Eddie, this story is very powerful. I'll tell you one last thing. St. Louis de Montfort says this: whether we know it or not, all the blessings and graces from the Trinity come through Mary. Now, as we call, Mary's actually called in Catholicism Mediatrix of all graces. That's a doctrine of the church. That's a doctrine of the Catholic Church. So that means everything that comes to us from the Trinity, all blessings and graces and protection and power and anything, favor, It comes through her. You've seen the picture of Our Lady of the Lourdes with her hands open, the rays coming out of her hands. Those are the graces of the Trinity coming to the world. By the same token, our prayers to God for protection, for blessing, thanksgiving, adoration, confession, supplication, they go through her as well. So even again, just the prayers again that a priest is praying during an exorcism, his prayers to God are going through Our Lady. So Mary's involved in every exorcism.
Yeah, that's deep. That's very deep.
Yeah.
And as I think about it, Jess, you know, it only makes sense that the woman who God chose to give birth into humanity, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Remember, when we talk to Protestants and non-Catholics, when we talk about the Virgin Mary, they're thinking we believe that she gave birth to Almighty God, the Trinity. No,
right.
She gave birth to the second person. And so this is the power. Why not? Why not everything her son merited come through her? That's what I would do if that was me. I'd let Mama be part of what's going on, and that's what he does. So, yeah, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah. Father Ripperger says that the Blessed Virgin Mary merited all the graces from God at the foot of the cross. John 19, he said that's the moment where the Blessed Virgin Mary merited all the graces from God for the human race at that moment, the foot of the cross. And it's something very interesting. The blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary, guess what? Guess who gave Jesus, the Son of God, that blood?
Yep.
His mother
That's
did.
That's right, Jess. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know,
and what's the devil afraid of? The blood of Jesus.
The blood.
And commingle with that blood. Let's just be honest. Commingle with that blood, you have the stem cells of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, and they're aware of that, Jess. They understand that Jesus is part Mary. I mean, this is the essential. You know, there's no human father there. But this also goes just to show that the suffering that Mary endured, sticking with him on the Via Dolorosa, following at all the stations of the cross, being there, you know, it gained her innumerable grace, and she was like you said, she was infused with everything from the triune God. And so that's, we have to remember, there's a payoff, ladies and gentlemen, there's a payoff for being struck with suffering in your life and sacrificing yourself. So let's how does it say, suffer joyfully, not happily,
right?
Suffer joyfully. This is important.
There you go. Hey, you know what we're going to do on Monday, Eddie? We're going to talk about why we call this network Virgin Most Powerful, because we specifically chose that name because that's a title that the devil's afraid of, Mary Virgin Most Powerful. So on Monday, you definitely want to tune into this show. We're going to talk about why we named this new apostolate Virgin Most Powerful. Eddie, we'll see you on Monday, brother. Have a great weekend.
God bless everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
That's a wrap. 10-7. We're off duty. Jesus 911. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.